We're talking about Alabama. Alabama, Georgia, tomorrow night. Now, we're going to talk to Danny Cannell. We had a great conversation with him. We'll let you hear what he had to say about this game and much more. If you're just joining us, part of the conversation today is I've been saying that Carson Beck.
Do you think he is a game manager?
Needs to be better.
By the way, those are words you put in my mouth in the first segment of the podcast.
I simply asked the question. Mike responded. He responded.
I am calling Turtle. Carson Beck a bum.
And so with now,
see,
that,
I never said that. That's been doctored audio.
With that said,
this is going to get again. You like real quick, Florida State again, my favorite school. I almost graduated. Okay, I was only 3 years short. Once they start to suck again, which it looks like they're trending that way, I generally go and I call Captain Gary and I talk to Johnny and I go out to Sanford State and I'll catch a couple of dog games and I don't want to walk in there and then be walking down Lumpkin and somebody like sucker punches me because they you go Carson Beck a bum. So you're
do
putting.
Do you think he is a game manager? Yeah.
That was the question.
You're putting my life in danger, Orin.
I think
a game manager.
I think he's a game manager. So we've been having this conversation because, can we be honest, dog fans? He needs to be great Saturday night.
Look, the quarterback play has got, like, the skill position players. Unless Kentucky was the greatest look-ahead problem of all time, because you had another week after that,
yeah,
and you were sandbagging again. If Mike Bobo is keeping all this great, super amazing stuff with the wide receivers that we haven't seen yet, okay. It was a sluggish look. If Clemson doesn't step on there in the first like half against Georgia, it might have been a game. Clemson has certainly figured their stuff out. Just happened to be a week late and a dollar short. And Georgia guys, it's just not that lights out defense, especially if you got those injuries. You know, if you don't have Mykel Williams now, he was at practice yesterday, according to Dog Nation, and that's good. But Jordan Hall, they've got to be out there, man.
So you now know how Mike feels. How does Danny Cannell feel about this matchup?
Oh, I mean, this is the. I mean, this is college football at its finest, right? I mean, this is peak SEC, and especially over the last 5 or 6 years, for a while there, the Bama-LSU game in the regular season was the game that would often determine a national champion. And now, whether it's been the SEC championship game or, as we're getting because of conference realignment, we're getting expansion and no divisions, now we're getting to see this type of matchup unfold in the regular season. This is all eyes in the college football world are going to have their eyes glued to the TV. If they're there in Tuscaloosa, the atmosphere is going to be absolutely bonkers. You're going to have some of the best talent in the country on both sides of the ball. There'll be NFL scouts lined up along the sidelines to watch all these players take place. It is going to be absolutely spectacular, and I'm here for all of it.
But who's going to step up? Because last year in the SEC Championship, Georgia just didn't have a plan for Milroe. And I'm curious to see Danny. I mean, we've seen him against Wisconsin. Looks like they're checking. They get the explosive plays. But is Georgia going to have something for Milroe in this one?
Yes, I think they will. I mean, Kirby Smart coming off a bye, you know, getting the film that you've got on Alabama. And really, I think the thing that Kalen DeBoer, their new head coach, has done with Jalen Milroe is embrace Jalen Milroe's running ability, which I think a lot of people – When DeBoer came in from Washington, they thought, oh, okay, Michael Penix was the quarterback that he coached at Washington. He was one of the best passers in the country. They averaged close to 400 yards a game for the beginning part of the season last year. They're thinking, oh, that's what you're going to get out of Jalen Milroe. He's going to change him and develop into him a passer. Mm-hmm. But instead, what you've seen is he's developed him and utilized him as a runner, which is really scary, and that's what smart coaches do. As they feed into what their players do best. And Milroe is an outstanding runner. And then when you start running the ball with success, that's when all of a sudden things come together and it opens up the pass game. And that's really what you saw against Wisconsin in the second half as Milroe started to hit on a couple of those plays. But after a bye week, getting healthy, I'm assuming Mykel Williams is coming back. Mm-hmm. I think Kirby Smart will have a plan just like they did in the SEC championship game last year because Milroe did hurt him through the air. But he didn't kill him through the ground. And I think that's got to be your game plan going into this game is, you know what, we might get beat through the air and Milroe might hit a couple big plays like he did last year, but we cannot let him beat us with our legs. I'm pretty sure that's what Kirby Smart will do. And I'll be really curious to see also if they get aggressive and instead of playing a little bit more conservative and saying, all right, we're going to keep a spy on him, make sure he doesn't hurt us with his legs. Maybe they actually bring some blitzers and bring some pressure and try to confuse them and be a little bit more aggressive on the road in Tuscaloosa. But that defensive game plan will probably determine the outcome of that game, along with the play of Carson Beck, which I'm sure we'll get to.
No, it's the next thing. Danny Cannell joining us. Danny, he has not looked dynamic. I use that word. I don't expect him to be a dual threat guy and running for 200 and throwing for 400. But I need him to make plays when I need him to do that. And he's not shown me yet that he's done enough of that here. I mean, the Clemson game seems like it was last year now.
I know. Right. This is getting – when we always say that, you know, college football is getting more like the NFL. It really is, and it's a what have you done for me lately? And I think that's what a lot of Georgia fans are saying for Carson Beck. What have you done for me lately? And the last time we saw him out there was a struggle against Kentucky where it was kind of ugly and there were plays to be made. And here's the thing. I think he played good against Clemson, but I think he's going to have to play great in this game. And that was one thing that Stetson Bennett, the quarterback previous to him that won a couple national championships, really did bring, especially his last year. If you want to be a guy that's like remembered in Georgia history that wins the big games, you can't just be good. At times, you're going to have to be great. Mm. And this the one thing about this Alabama defense. Their secondary has been vulnerable. And the opposing quarterbacks they've played so far, who aren't exactly a great list of players, they're not guys that are going to be in the Heisman race. They're not guys going to be taken in the NFL draft. They're just kind of some average college quarterbacks. They have not been able to take advantage of it. That is the opportunity that I think Carson Beck will have. And he's going to have to step up and make some of those throws on the road to justify some of the preseason expectations as far as the Heisman, the preseason expectations as far as the NFL draft. This is the type of player that makes you a great in Georgia lore, and it cements your status as a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. So there is a ton of pressure on this young man who, again, he's been good, but I love that word that you use, dynamic, because that's what he's going to have to be on the road in Tuscaloosa against a pretty athletic defense that we've seen before. It's not changed that much on the defensive side of the ball.
It is Danny Cannell, Florida State legend, with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline around the SEC. I mean, well, the whole top 25 is SEC, but how about Tennessee? And, you know, we've always thought of them under Heupel's finesse, Danny, but now they got a really good defense to match the offense.
Oh, my goodness. That's the thing that's scary. And I will not claim this as my own because I don't like stealing other people's material, but I did hear them compared to the 2019 LSU team, where 2019 LSU was a team that with Joe Burrow at quarterback and Ja'Marr Chase and Jefferson as receivers, they had so much offensive firepower. And that's what I think you're getting with Tennessee. But as you alluded to, the thing that makes them potentially special and where you could see a run like that is this defensive front, which has been absolutely spectacular. James Pierce Jr. is probably going to be a top five NFL draft pick. Dominic Bailey, the other side of that line of scrimmage, the backers have been special. They have been aggressive. They've been dominant. They have been shutting teams down. So they have completely looked the part. I will say there's a bit of a caveat with me with Tennessee because they've been really good, and I think they're deserving of their ranking. They have probably two of the best wins versus NC State and Oklahoma as anybody in the country. But I do think their true test will come a little bit further down the road when they play Bama, when they play Georgia. Like, those to me will be the true test because Oklahoma has a little bit of a quarterback issue. And Oklahoma, by the way, is only a 2.5-point favorite against Auburn, who's been very lackluster this season. Yeah. So I think it kind of shows you, and NC State, by the way, you know, they're 2-2. They're a 500 team, which preseason expectations where they'd be better, but they're really a shell of themselves. So I'm still impressed with Tennessee. I still think they potentially could be on to something special like that 2019 LSU team with a defense to match some of the offensive firepower. But I still need to see them do it against the top-tier competition.
Danny, speaking of teams that have impressed me, it's even hard to say because every time we say, the U is back, something happens. Yeah. But they beat the snot out of Florida to start, 41-17. They put up 56 on Florida A&M, kind of expected. Ball State, they held them to nothing, you know, 62-0. Then South Florida, everybody said, okay, they played Alabama close, and then you saw Cam Ward score 50 against a team that gave Bama, you know, issues the week before. How good is this Miami team, man?
They're really good. I'll say the same thing about Tennessee. Like, the Florida game was impressive. It was at the Swamp, but then we saw Texas A&M do the exact same thing just a couple weeks later. South Florida, I think – so here's where I'm impressed with Miami, and this is where I think they're different than they've been in years past. We've had hype around this program in the last decade, and they've started off strong, and then they've laid some absolute eggs – well, like against Georgia Tech last year, and they probably still should have won that game, and Mario inexplicably doesn't kneel on the ball. They end up losing it. It's like this massive collapse. I think there is a belief and leadership on this team that does not let that happen, and I think a lot of that stems from Cam Ward. Mario Cristobal has raved about his leadership, and I think he's got that sort of alpha mentality where he's confident, he's cocky. He's out there. I don't know if you guys have seen the clip. I'm sure you probably have, where he's on the field against South Florida, and he calls out the A-gap, and he, like, says, we're coming right here. Right. They run the ball in the A-gap, and they score. And I think his teammates absolutely love that. And I think that's stuff that goes back to, like, the 90s and early 2000s Miami Hurricane program when they had that type of swagger. I think he has brought that back, and I think they are dialed in more so than ever before, which is why I'm not that worried about him against Virginia Tech this week. And here's the thing about them. I mentioned Tennessee having some tests coming up. Miami's schedule, especially considering the way Florida State has collapsed and been a real disappointment this year, they're probably going to be a double-digit favorite against Florida State at home. Louisville, who they play on the road, could be a tricky, you know, game. There's some games that you look at, and they're really going to have to, like, have a letdown. They should be double-digit favorites in almost every game the rest of their schedule. I don't know if they truly get tested from a team until the ACC championship game, which does appear to be a collision course with the Clemson Tigers.
Yeah, Danny, I was going to avoid talking about the Noles. I've seen them twice, including the Dublin game, and they're lost. And I don't know who thought DJU was going to be reinvented in Tallahassee. Is this the cautionary tale of the transfer portal?
I think so, Mike. Like, the thing that I look at was that I think both sides, I think DJ didn't get what he signed up for, and I don't think Florida State got what they signed up for. Now, what I mean by that is I think when Mike Norvell and the staff looked at DJU and they looked at their roster, they said, we need somebody who can give us some leadership, who can give us some stability, who's not going to make the big mistakes, sort of a game manager, right? And what we're going to give him is and this is what they sold DJ on, is our defense is going to be off the charts. We're going to have the best defensive line. Our offensive line is going to be awesome. We're bringing in Roydell Williams from Alabama. You're going to have a great run game to support you. And you're just going to have to kind of, you know, we're going to help you take that next step. We're going to have these great pieces around you. And I thought that's what DJ thought he was getting. And I thought that's what Florida State was getting when they said to DJ, we're going to get like a quarterback who can manage the game, not make the mistakes, step up and make a few big plays. I don't think either side got what they wanted. And I don't think Florida State gave DJ what they told him they would give him in this defense, which is supposed to be otherworldly in a run game. And then what you get is a quarterback exposed, because there's one thing DJ's been. He's been up and down. He's had massive expectations. He is not a quarterback who can put a team on his back and say, all right, I can make us better. I don't think he's been the biggest problem, but he really hasn't been a part of the solution, and that's been a big issue and a struggle for Florida State. So I look at the season. I hope they can salvage it. I'd love to see them, you know, get to 8 wins potentially, but they're an underdog, almost a touchdown underdog against SMU this weekend. Like, this is going to be a let's start building for the future season, which is wild. And I think that's one thing it's hurt so many Florida State fans, like, it's been difficult to deal with because there were such massive expectations coming in.
All right, one last thing for me. You buy in Texas, because I totally am, and I think this is as deep as Sark's had. You got two good quarterbacks. You've got good offensive line play. You got pros up front on the defense. I think they're legit.
Yeah, they got answers everywhere. I was at Michigan last week for the USC game, and I was on the field, and USC was there. And I'm sitting there watching the game, and there's a security guard next to me, and I'm like, hey, what do you think? I'm like, USC looks really big. They look good. And he's like, you should have seen Texas. I was like, oh. And he had just seen him a couple weeks ago. That Texas, they are built to win. They've got deep pockets so they can buy anybody they want to in this NIL world. They've got depth at quarterback. The one position they've been dinged a little bit is running back, but it's sort of a position that you can make up for that. The defensive tackles, I think, is a concern, but all across the board, they've got depth, and they've got two quarterbacks that look, you know, stellar, and Arch Manning and Quinn Ewers, who Quinn Ewers, I do think, is probably going to be the number one overall draft pick. They look the part. They've answered the test. They are a really good team. I expect them to see them definitely in the Final Four and maybe in the championship game.
Right on.
Danny, thanks so much. Great analysis. Check him out, guys. He's on Sirius. And also check out Bet Online as they bring you Danny Cannell here on Dukes and Bell. Appreciate you, man. Enjoy the games this weekend.
You guys as well. It's always great catching up. Have a good one.
Good college football info from Danny Cannell. This just coming in. Mike keeps saying we can't lose this game at home on Sunday.
Now what?
Chris Olave suffered an injury in practice today.
Oh, snap.
We're going to see how serious it is. That is the report coming out of Saints camp. So they are going to be without two of their best offensive linemen. Their center, who was a Pro Bowler, Eric McCoy is out. Cesar Ruiz is out. Demario Davis is out. And now Chris Olave is listed as day-to-day. All right. Just keeping you updated. Big game Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We're coming back. We got more to get to, including it's time for the picks of the week. It is time for our picks of the week. It is Dukes and Bell coming up. We're going to talk with Steve Coonan, Hawk CEO. If you missed our conversation with Kennington Smith, covers Alabama for The Athletic. Very good stuff. And he talks about why they are giving teams fits and what the key will be in this Georgia game for Alabama. Stay tuned. You're going to hear what he had to say coming up. But we got to get to the picks. We pick against the spread, over, under. Three games. It can be college, pro. It does not matter. And right now, Chris is in the lead. He has a record of 5-4. I'm 4-5. Oren is 4-5. Mike Bell is 3-6. Long season. We said these early college games kind of got us behind the eight ball. They've been tough this year. But hopefully we can all get back on track. So let's get to it. We start with Mike because, again, it's top to bottom or bottom to the top. Mike, 3-6. What are you looking at this week, man?
2-1 last week to try to get respectable. As the man says, the last shall be first, we hope. Start with college. Louisville. How about that Louisville Cardinals? They're averaging 47 points per game. They're only giving up 287 yards. It makes them the 22nd best in that category in college ball. And they're taking down Notre Dame, whose quarterback finally scored the other day. I'm taking Louisville, getting 7. Going to South Bend. Also in college ball, I won big with the Hurricanes, and they're pretty good to bet on. They are averaging 52 points a game. Miami taking on a hapless Hokie squad at the Hard Rock, minus 17.5. They covered a similar number against USF last week, put a 50-burger on the Bulls.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the Canes are going to take care of business. Again, minus 17.5, big number. And in the pros, there's no way in God's green earth the Bengals can go 0-4 to start the season. I think they look at what Andy Dalton did, negated, even though they got some injuries on defense. I'm taking the Bengals minus 4.5 up the road in Charlotte.
He is confident. He got right to it. No clowning around.
No effing around,
no,
Carl.
Not at all. And by the way, that Miami game is tonight. I like the Canes as well, but I'm not going to pick them to win it. I'm going to pick the over because I think they score a lot of points, and I think their opponent's going to score, right? I mean, they're not going to hold him scoreless. So, Chris, you can put me down for that Miami game, but I'm going over. I think it's 53.5 tonight as the Canes are at home against Virginia Tech. I think Virginia Tech will score a couple of touchdowns. I just do.
Hokies have scored 37 against Old Dominion, 31 against Marshall, 23 in a loss to Rutgers. And if Miami scores 40, maybe you get there.
Maybe you get there. I think Miami does. They're trying to roll everybody. Okay. Hey, let's get to Oren. Oren is 4-5. I will pick, and then Chris, who's 5-4, will pick. It's our picks of the week. Oren, what three games do you have?
All right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it here, guys. It's what, a 1-point spread between Bama and UGA?
Yeah. Which way are you going?
Give me the dogs, the minus the 1.
Okay. There you go.
Okay. Ride with the dogs, minus 1. These guys got me some success last week. I figure, what the heck, I'll go with them again. Steelers are only 2.5-point favorites over the Colts on the road. Give me the Steelers minus the 2.5.
You're riding the wave, huh?
Riding the wave,
okay,
on that one.
All right.
And kind of going back and forth on my last one here, I think I'm going to go good team versus bad team. Houston is a 6-point favorite at home against Jacksonville. Give me Houston at minus 6 all day on that one, bud.
I am with you on that, too. I'm not going to pick that game, but, boy, it just feels like that's setting up for an 0-4 start for the Jags.
It's beginning, like, it's going to blow up in Jacksonville in a major way.
I mean, the Texans' offense has not been great, though.
No.
That's the only
it's
thing.
Not, but if there was a bounce-back game, the team that gave up a 40-burger to Buffalo on Sunday. So I mean, right. last week, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Texans, yeah, they got. I thought they got embarrassed by Minnesota, too. I mean, like, that was
I'm not
ugly.
Saying it's a sophomore thing, but Stroud's, they're not as explosive on offense right now, Texas, at least for the first three.
Yeah, it's fair. It's fair. Only reason I would take them is they're at home. What's the spread again? What's the
minus
number?
-6.
Okay. Good stuff, Oren. Here's the deal for me, guys. I am going to start with the NFL. Give me the Bills to cover the +2.5. I feel like Josh Allen, just like we asked B-Mac, is playing his best football right now. And the way that offense is humming, here's the thing. They're going to go into Baltimore, and Baltimore's feeling good about themselves because they were able to eke out a win against Dallas. I don't think Dallas is as good, guys. I just don't. And that was a game that wasn't close. If you watched last week, the Ravens, they blew Dallas out and allowed them to get back into the game late. So here come the Bills. I like the Bills to cover that number. It should be a close game, but give me the Bills. I didn't know what college game I really wanted to get on. I told you I was going to jump on the Miami over 53.5 of Virginia Tech, so I'm on that. But then I was like, what else can I jump on? And I know Oren likes the Dogs. It's too close to call for me. Pardon the political term there.
It's a pick 'em, though, Carl.
It is. And that's why. I'm just – I want the Dogs to win. I picked them when we started the show, but I'm not going to officially pick them here. Mike, I think I'm going to pick War Eagle.
Whoa.
Oklahoma's offense is terrible.
But have you seen David Auburn's Bassidy quarterback play?
Have you seen Oklahoma's?
Don't do it. I'm going to talk you off the list. Do not bet Auburn.
Have you seen
Don't do it.
They're not going to lose at home.
They're averaging 8 yards a play this year on offense, Carl. Auburn is with bad quarterback
You're telling me that they're going to lose to Oklahoma at home? Is that what you're telling me?
They lost to freaking Cal at home. And Florida State barely beat Cal.
They've gotten better, Mike. They've gotten
8 yards of play on offense, Carl.
Are you
8 yards of play.
You're that confident.
Hugh Freeze doesn't have a quarterback. It's either Brown or Thorne. He didn't even know. It's like, it's bad.
Neither does Oklahoma.
I mean, yes, their five-star guy sucks.
This is the kind of spite piece.
He said if they played Arkansas 9 more times, they'd beat Arkansas 9 times.
I know. I heard him say that.
What's the spread on this game?
It's Auburn by 1.
Wow. All right, man. All right, go with God.
War Eagle!
You're just doing this because you got a beef with Bassidy from the Falcons, who's
true.
Always saying Boomer Sooner, and
this
Carl's like, go pound sand.
Yes, this is true. I can't lie. And I thoroughly enjoyed Tennessee kicking their butts
last
week.
Let the record reflect. I tried to talk you off the ledge on this
You took Auburn early in the year?
I did, and I'll never go again. I had him against Cal. That was the game where guys were asking Thor for money back on Venmo.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Things have changed, right?
No, it's gotten worse. Anyway, good luck.
I'm taking
8 yards of play on offense, Carl. Yards of play.
I'm taking it. They got to get better.
All right.
Chris, what do you got, man? What do you got?
All right. I am also on the Texans this week. -6 versus Jacksonville. Jacksonville's just bad, guys. I think that's what we're going to come to realize. Give me the Chiefs, -7 at Los Angeles. A banged up Herbert. The Chiefs are finally going to roll on offense. Give me Kelce to score that one.
Sorry, Chris, is there any information yet on Herbert?
Yeah,
status?
He is, quote, progressing through the week with his ankle injury, but no game time
status. You know what that means
yet.
We didn't play, guys. Taylor Heineke time again.
Uh-oh.
And then for my college game, is Kentucky going to have another stand-up defensive day? No, they are not.
No.
Ole Miss is going to roll, -16, and I love them in this game.
By the way, I do too. I think that's a good pick, Chris. Mike, they beat Alabama A&M 73-3.
Yeah, that's Alabama A&M, with all due respect.
Huh?
Don't get the Swack and Miak folks mad at me.
Beat up on Furman, the Paladins.
Wait a minute. They beat New Mexico 45-19, Mike.
Bro, have you seen this? I guess Venables is going to come up with some stuff. Okay, these guys are going to be running for their lives.
You're telling me Auburn's going to get humiliated by Oklahoma.
Yards of play, Carl. All right. Eight yards of play.
Again, I've tried to talk you up this. If Auburn couldn't beat Cal, they're not going to beat the Oklahoma friggin' Sooners, regardless of how crappy their quarterback is.
They lost by
7.
All right.
That's old stuff, though, Carl.
Those are our picks. It is a spike pick. I'm going to tell you right now.
And by the way, I would never do this. I'm surprised one of you guys didn't jump on it. It's bad juju. I won't do it. SMU is probably going to beat Florida State by 14. It's 6.5-point favorites Saturday night in Fort Worth.
How much? 6?
SMU is a 6.5. Is it Fort Dallas versus SMU?
Yes. Yeah.
Dallas. SMU
it's in the
is
heart.
A 6.5-point favorite against Florida State, who still can't figure anything out on offense.
Hold on. Let me call my guy. Hey, man, coming up, we're going to talk to Steve Coonan. Hawks camp starts media days Monday, and we got some other things we got to get to with Steve Coonan next. It is Dukes and Bell coming up 5:00. We are going to talk more about our Falcons taking on those Saints. We'll get you caught up on the injuries. Also, you'll hear the quarterback report with our own Kirk Cousins, and the Braves are back in action. Man, isn't it crazy? what the weather is outside today.
I know.
It's crazy.
The storm just kind of sucks all this. Oh, there were some still gray clouds in the out bands. I just saw some weather up in Nashville. They're getting crushed right now. The flooding thing. Just posted a photo. My buddy just sent me a photo of canoe, and you really need a canoe to get to the iconic canoe right now. Everything off the Chattahoochee is crazy. Westminster School. I mean, anything that's near the creeks, which have been rising, is just underwater. So hang in there, folks. I know there's nothing worse than dealing with water damage and all that.
Steve Coonan joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Hawks CEO. How did you guys fare, Steve? I mean, everything okay at the house and the family?
We did well. I'm very thankful, and I'm hope that the city recovers quickly. But we lost the internet about 1 o'clock in the morning, which I freaked out. I was watching Mr. McMahon on Netflix.
Yeah, oh, really? It looks good.
It's very good.
Okay.
Very good. So
it's about Vince McMahon,
right? No, I mean it's getting good. It's gotten great reviews, and it's supposed to be super behind the scenes. Our man Steve Coon is with us. Steve, we've been spending, before we get to the Hawks, just got to ask us. We just spent a lot of time talking about these games this weekend. Talked to Danny Cannell. Talked to the beat writer from the Athletic for the Tide. What's your confidence level as a Georgia alum for this game in Tuscaloosa on Saturday night?
Well, my confidence level and my rational mind are two dramatically different things. Mm. My confidence level says Georgia by 60. My emotional confidence level says, oh, my God, I hope it's over and we win. I mean, that's a tough, tough place to go play. But I think the Kentucky game served us well and Kirby well. He was able to show him the tape and have a field day with it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm hopeful because I think Texas is going to be a huge challenge, and I think Ole Miss is going to be a huge challenge. So, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good, but I think it'll be a close game.
Hawks camp starts next week. I mean, we got media day.
Right.
Let's just talk about, you know, where the team is, and as far as, you know, what we know right now. Obviously, you know, things will change out of camp with personnel and whatnot. But how do you feel as a CEO getting ready for another upcoming season? It feels like, I said this to Mike, and I know for you probably the same, I think the Olympics extended the season in a way that it feels like the season just ended, although we know it didn't. And we had basketball in the summer, but quick turnaround here. Tell us where you're at with the team.
I mean, we're just excited. The camaraderie, the guys have been in now for over 2 weeks. Everybody's been working out and playing together every day, doing fun things at night. Trey hosted everybody a pickleball. The entire team went to the Kansas City Chiefs Falcons game. I think you probably saw Trey and Zachary Rifache on the field. And thank you to the Falcons, who are great friends, as are the Braves. And, you know, I think the idea of going down to Athens and having all the guys in one place, no distractions, not going home at night, spending, you know, 3 days with each other, will just keep building that chemistry and keep building the approach that everybody needs to understand. Quinn Snyder starts his second full year with us. He has a very specific way he wants to play, and I'm hoping they follow that, that we follow that pattern.
And just to double down on what you're talking about with Steve Coonan, guys, the Hawks CEO, we talked about it during the show this week about how cool it was to see Trey taking Rishashe to the Oklahoma game, and then, as you mentioned, being there at football with it. Just seems like Trey is really embracing the squad. I mean, not that he wasn't in the past, but maybe more so this time around.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, he's the leader, he's the all-star, he's the, you know, he's the alpha. And so being a leader is something that, you know, you grow into, and I think he's growing into it beautifully.
We're talking with Steve Coonan, Hawks CEO. When I heard this week, because I was fortunate enough to see him at Memphis when Kyle was still there, he was one of his first recruits, and I said, man, Kyle, this guy is special. And he says, you should see him at practice. And it was Derrick Rose. And Derrick Rose announced his retirement this week. And, Steve, I just bring this up to say, after 16 years in the NBA, we had the what-if conversation. What if he doesn't get hurt? He was an MVP, his explosiveness, the things he was able to do, but a good guy off the floor as well. But when you know, have these careers that these guys have and then you call it quits, you know, there's an era, right, where he came into the league and who was in the league at that time. And, you know, he was the number one overall pick in 2008. And I was just like, man, it's 16 years in the league. Just a comment or two, you know, again, because we're going to see this over the next few years. I mean, LeBron, guys.
Yeah, new generation.
Correct. He's going to give it up. We're going to see a bunch of guys that you go, man, I'm starting to feel old because these guys are now retiring from the NBA.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Derrick Rose because I don't think he gets the flowers that he deserves. He was incredible, mm-hmm. but he really suffered injuries. If you remember in 21, we went and played the Knicks. He was the backup point guard, and Trey torched him. I mean, he was not Derrick Rose.
Right.
And I think for the last 5 years, he kind of limped through on multiple teams as, you know, a guy off the bench. And then you look at Steph and, you know, LeBron, they just literally won us the gold medal.
Right.
So I think everybody's career journey is different. And it's going to be difficult for the league to lose those guys. It's going to be really difficult because they've been the gold standard for a long, long time. But then you look at what's on deck. You look at Anthony Edwards. You look at Wembanyama. You look at this kid, Connor, you know, Flagg, who's coming out of Duke. By the way, we announced, I think, December 12th, Duke and Kentucky will be playing in our building, in the State Farm Classic, which is very cool. And that should be really, really, really interesting, fun basketball. Mm. And so you never know when the next one's coming from, but it's there is an era that will be ending in the next few years. And I think it's one of the best eras in the history of basketball, if not the best.
It's the Hawks CEO, Steve Cooney, with us, guys. You know something about marketing from his time with TNT and Coke and everybody else. I feel like they're kind of pushing the Bronny thing with LeBron, and I get it. It's fascinating to watch a father play with his son like the Griffies did in baseball. Magic Johnson goes on Jimmy Kimmel last night and says, if I'm Bronny, just tell my dad, let me play in the G League so I can develop. Because, you know, a lot of folks felt that it was kind of like, it was what it was. The Lakers, he fell to him there, and nobody else is going to take a shot at Bronny. What do you think that's going to be this year? Other than a nice story.
I think he'll be in the G League. I'd be shocked if he made the 15-man roster and traveled with the team to every game because I don't think there'll be a ton of playing time for him. But, again, you know, I haven't seen him play. I could be wrong. But I'm hoping that he develops as a great player. Our league needs more great players. But it is a pretty cool story. I mean, I'm fortunate I get to work with my son on a couple of deals and ventures, and there's a pride there that I can't even put into words. I can't even imagine, you know, traveling on the road and suiting up and playing basketball with my son because we're both very short. But, you know, it is a cool story, but I don't think it's a basketball story. I think it's a father-son story. Okay.
All right, got to ask you about Falcons Saints. You know the rivalry. It resumes on Sunday. Look, we were close but no cigar against the Chiefs. That's a game maybe we look back in, you know, 5-6 weeks and say, man, if we could have, look where we might be if we run off, you know, 3 or 4 games here. But the Saints are always tough. I think the city is amped for it simply because, you know, again, we had a great crowd, by the way, Steve, on that Sunday night game. I thought the city looked great. You know, it's just we haven't had a lot of primetime games as of late because the team hasn't been there. But I thought it was a good showing for our Falcons. What do you think about Sunday?
I think it's going to be about injuries again. Right. This has been a very weird year. There's like very little vibe to the games. Like last night's game had no flow, no rhythm, major, major injuries within the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yep.
And, you know, this is going to be a battle of who's got the best roster. Our center's out. I think their center's out. That's an unbelievably important piece to an NFL team.
Yep.
So, I'm certainly hopeful and cheering, but Saints ranked 2 in PFF rankings. They were incredibly impressive, and then they, you know, lost at home to Philadelphia, and they only had 3 points on the board going into the fourth quarter.
Right.
So, candidly, I don't know what anybody knows. What were your picks this week? What's your best pick?
For me? Oh, by the way, the local Atlanta gambling community has sounded off on Carl's pick of Auburn over Oklahoma in basically a pick 'em.
I hate Boomer Sooner.
My best pick, I think, is the Miami Hurricanes are just on an absolute heater right now. It's a big number, Steve, -17.5, but Miami's just been putting up 50s on everybody.
Yeah, it's funny. I think Penn State's the same kind of thing.
Yep.
Illinois, last week, beat Nebraska. Great Friday night game. I caught the end of that game. And they're an 18-point underdog to Penn State. And you got to say, somebody knows something. That one smells.
Right.
So I think the same with Miami.
Hey, before we let you go, Steve, you are obviously a power broker in the city. A power broker on the landscape of sports and music, Carl, don't you agree?
Yes.
You know, if it was Sinatra that could bring Martin and Lewis back together, and we just found out that we're getting the Super Bowl, it looks like, in February of 28, can't you be the guy to put Outkast back together so we finally get Andre 3000 and Big Boy on the show that Atlanta wants and the world needs?
You know what? As soon as we hang up, I'm going to call Jay-Z, who is now in charge of Super Bowl halftime. And I'm gonna tell him that I took a survey of two other people, and you know, by the way, Big Boy did play the 2019 Super Bowl,
yeah.
But he played with Adam Levine.
He did.
So, yeah. I think that's a great idea. I was surprised with Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
It actually gave me some optimism that they were actually listening to what people were listening to rather than, you know, right. ratings, which right. surprised me. But I think it's a great suggestion. And, you know, 28 will be here before we know it.
Yeah, it will be. The fact that we're in the rotation, that's where we should be. You know, you're not going to get it every 2 years. We right. know that.
We're an elite city.
Correct. And I'm glad that we're in the rotation. And I say this, last thing as we let you go, you know, with the World Cup coming, and you talked about this, and now this announcement of getting another Super Bowl, boy, we need more rooms downtown. Oh, wait, we're getting them.
Yes, we are. And I think we'll be getting more events.
Yes.
Well, I got to go.
Yeah, good stuff.
We'll be talking soon.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great weekend.
Take care.
All right. Steve Coonan, Hawks CEO. He's talking about Centennial Yards, but that's not going to be the only thing. Mike and I could – look, that's Signia. Give me about three more of those types of hotels, Mike.
You know, it's the thing you talked about it, you know, when you're in other cities and we have these amazing patios and outdoor decks and rooftop bars that have, you know, amazing vistas of the city. And that just – you're right. We're going to have more stuff. And we get the – think about this, guys. In the space of, 2.5 years, we get the World Cup and the Super Bowl.
All right. Coming up, we will talk Falcons – Caleb McGarry, is he in or is he out? We'll also hear from our quarterback, Kirk Cousins, and the latest on the Alabama-Georgia matchup from the Alabama perspective. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate.